Come on, thank Him for His mercy this morning. Hallelujah, Jesus. Where would I be had it not been for the Lord who was on my side? I'm thankful for Your mercies, O God, and that they are new every morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning. Amen. Thankful for the presence of God that is in this place. Amen. I say it often, but I love all of you, but if it was just us here, it just wouldn't be the same. I'm thankful for the presence of God that is here today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I know that you've been standing a while, so I'm going to read quickly. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, begin reading verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, now 16 years old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after God of David his father. And in the 12th year, now 20 years old, a 4-year gap, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Baalim in his presence. And the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he brake in pieces and made dust of them, and strode it upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali, with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves, and had beaten the graven images into powder, and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. This morning I come with a word from the Lord, and while this can come across as a little heavy today, I certainly do not feel in my spirit this is for everybody in the room, but I have no doubt in my mind and in my spirit that the Lord wants to speak to somebody in the house today. All week long I have wrestled, wanting in part to preach something differently, but God just kept stirring this word in my spirit. And I just don't feel like I would do somebody in this place justice if I did not preach the word of the Lord today. Would you receive that today? Come on, let's lift our hands and pray. Father, we love you right now. God, we thank you for all that you have done in this place. God, I pray right now that you would open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to receive the word. God, that you have stirred in my heart so deeply this week. I pray for strength. I pray you would anoint these lips of clay to deliver the word of the Lord to somebody here today that needs this message. God, this word from you, oh God, let me simply be a conduit, God, and let it settle in the heart of someone here today. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord today. For just a few moments, I want to preach to you on this subject: dusty idols made into dust. Dusty idols made into dust. One thing that I love about the Lord is that He has given us a choice. Each of us have the opportunity to really do what we want to do in life. We had the opportunity today to stay home or come and enjoy the presence of God. He has given each of us a choice. But one thing as a human being that I struggle with is that I have a choice. Because sometimes I make a wrong decision. Sometimes I do things that I regret. I say something that I wish I had not said. I mess up and I handled something wrong. Or perhaps even worse, I did not handle it at all. We push something off, we ignore it, and we thought maybe it would just go away. And we think today idolatry is being confined to bowing down to a golden statue or praying to a wooden trinket. And you look at that and you don't see yourself struggling with that. You don't have a little golden man in your home that you bow down and pray to and sing worship songs to. And since we don't do that, we assume that we just don't have idols. But an idol is anything or anyone that becomes more important to you than God. Even good things can become bad things when we make them ultimate things in our life. Even good things in your life can become bad things when they become ultimate in your life. When God, who is supposed to be number one, suddenly gets bumped down to number two because there is someone or something else that has taken that top spot. One man said, "Is it that a 12-inch piece of wood or bronze can do something bad to us? Or is it that we do something awful to ourselves when we place adoration and attention that should go to God in something else?" It's not the object that's the problem. It's the heart issue that's the problem. It's something within me. It's the choices that I have made. And when it comes to idolatry, the danger is not in an item. The danger is within ourselves. The Ten Commandments lead off with number one, saying, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And while that word is being given on the mountaintop, down at the very bottom, they are melting gold and making a golden calf at the same exact moment. It's a problem. It's an issue. It's always been an issue. And God said, "I am a jealous God. I desire to reign supreme in your life. I want to be number one in your eyes." Idols. It means horrid things, horrible things. Hosea 13, the Bible says that they created idols according to their understanding. Instead of trusting in God, who I don't always understand because His ways are higher than my ways and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And so I just go and say, "Well, you know what? I'll create something I can understand. I'll create a God that will get with my program. I'll create something that gets with my agenda and supports how I want to live and what I want to do, and that will in turn be my God." So I trade the miraculous for something else just so I can understand it. And we create our own idols that we can comprehend, but they don't do anything for us. And we trade the truth of God for a lie or a cheap figurine that just simply sits on a shelf. Isaiah 46 said, "To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire goldsmiths, and he maketh it a god. They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place. He standeth from his place, and shall he not remove? Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet he cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. How many of you can testify to that today, that there is no God like our God? There's no God that can heal like my God can heal. There's no God that is alive forevermore like our God is alive forevermore. There's no other God that went to Calvary and took nails upon his hands and his feet. He said, I am that God. I am that one that loves you. There's nobody else besides me. When my God created me, these create their God. When he comes and bears me upon his shoulder, when I am weak, when I don't know if I can go another day, he comes and bears me on his shoulder. Yet these bear their God on their shoulder. My God carries me when I am weak. Yet these have to move their God around. My God sets me in a steady place. Yet these have to set their God in a steady place. And even then, Dagon will fall over time and time again until heads begin to roll. My God is omnipresent. The Bible says, if I ascend into the heavens, behold, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, he is there. Yet these, their God stands in his place and he does not move. And the Bible says, I cry unto the Lord and he heard me. Yet their God, they cry out to their God and he does not answer them. I am thankful today that we have a hold of who he is, that we know him by name, and that we can call upon the Lord day and night, and he is quick to respond and be there in a hurry. Idols cannot simply be shelved and let dust gather on them. They must be destroyed. I understand graven images are not something you worship. I understand idols today look a lot differently in your eyes. And I understand that most in here do not feel that you suffer from being an idol worshiper. Even when you consider all the things people do today that can be considered an idol. But anything that sets itself in place of God in your life is an idol. If it's food, if it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's sports, if it's your job, if it's your family, if it is anything else that ever gets out of alignment and bumps God down to anywhere else than number one, then there is somebody here today that has struggled at least once in your life with an idol problem. Can we all agree that we've all been there? One songwriter said, anything I put before my God is an idol. Anything I want with all my heart is an idol. Anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love to is an idol. God creates man and beast. And then man says, you know what? I'm created in his image. I have a brain. I can think. I can dream just like he can dream. I can create kind of just like he can create. And so man creates God in an image of man and beast. But Psalm 36:9 says he is the fountain of life. When Ezekiel goes to the valley of dry bones, and the word has come to him, and the question is, can these dry bones live? Not can they come back together, not can they be reconstructed, but can they live? Can they get that blood back in their bodies? Can they thrive again? Can they live? And his response was, thou knowest. You know. And God said, I want you to begin to prophesy. I want you to begin to speak to these bones. And so he begins to speak and prophesy. And all of a sudden bone joins with bone and flesh and muscle start to take form again. And it all begins to come back to the body. But scripture says, but there was no breath in them. Well, I can't do that part. I can prophesy. I can speak. I can see things begin to unfold that I never dreamed possible. But there is only one that can breathe on them. There is only one that can give life to these bones. There is only one that can come into my circumstance when I feel broken and when I feel like I'm a mess, that can come in. And he said, prophesy to the wind. Speak that it may blow that ruah breath, that spirit, that life-giving breath upon them. And the Bible said life was restored and they became an exceeding great army. Genesis, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils. I can create. I can be creative and come up with little golden men and little wooden trinkets, and I can do all of those things, but I can't. I don't have that ability. I can't do that. There's only one that I know that has that ability, and it's you. You find Satan who said, I will be like the Most High. You find when the serpent comes to Eve in the presence of the garden, he comes to her and he says, do you really know why God doesn't want you to eat of that tree? Because he knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened and ye shall be as gods. Here's the lure. You get to be like him. And it's not to be like Jesus, like we sing about being like Jesus. He was trying to convey to them, you can be just like him. You can have knowledge. You can have power. You can have ability. You can create your own gods. You can do your own thing. But the truth is, his word still says, I and I alone am God. But I am so thankful that Josiah, as a young man, got a hold of the big picture. Because the odds were not really in his favor. If you go back to 2 Chronicles 31, you will find his great-grandfather Hezekiah, who took the images down that had been built and erected. And the Bible said he took these false gods, these idols, and he broke them and utterly destroyed them. He took down those great things and he broke them down and he said, I don't want to serve a false god. I don't want our people serving false gods. I don't want to give anybody the idea that I'm okay with this. And he begins to break down these high places and these altars and these idols. And he says, I don't want any part of that in my life. But then his son Manasseh comes on the scene. And the Bible says Manasseh built again the high places. What dad had taken down and destroyed, son comes up and son begins to rebuild what dad had torn down. And the Bible says he carved an image and created another idol. And he did this all in the house of the Lord. It's bad enough to know that there are idols outside in your homes and in your closets, and there are things that people struggle with that nobody else knows about. But it's a whole nother ballgame when he says, I'm going to build it and erect it in the house of the Lord, where he said, I will put my name and I will be a light and we will do great things through my people. And Manasseh says, well, I understand that, but I want to create a God. I want to rebuild some of these things because it's what I know. But God begins to deal with him God begins to punish him, and he finds himself bound, and he finds himself in a place of repentance before God. He wasn't just repenting because he got caught. The Bible says that God saw sincerity there in his heart, and God saw Manasseh crying and saying, "Oh Lord, I've really messed up. God, I'm thankful for choice, but my choice got me in some trouble. And Lord, I need you now to help me." And the Bible said that Manasseh went and took all of the strange gods, and he takes them out of the city. He said, "I don't want them around. I don't want them in the house of the Lord. I don't want it in my closet. I don't want it in the bedroom. I don't want it anywhere around to be a temptation for me. Get it out." That's great. We would applaud somebody for taking those steps. We would appreciate somebody saying they got rid of these idols. And he moves them and he throws them out of the city. But the idol is simply relocated. The problem is simply set aside and not truly dealt with. And you may think not dealing with something keeps it out of sight, out of mind. And if I avoid it long enough, then maybe it will just go away. But it never really stays away. It always escalates. When weeds show up in the garden, if you don't deal with it and you don't take it out and remove it, it won't be long before the weeds start taking over and they start drawing the nutrients that were meant for something greater and something worthwhile. There are things in our life that it's not simply enough to ignore and push to the side, but that we need to get back to what God has said, and we need to begin to deal with some of those things in our life. It can build up additional stress because while it may be out of sight, it's really not out of mind. It creates repetitive patterns and problems. If it's not dealt with, it's always there for a cheap fix. The Bible says it's like a dog returning to his vomit, and that's vile and that's gross to even think about. But he said, "I've cast this aside, and I'm going to go about my business doing my thing and pretending like it's not there. But the day that comes when I just need a little fix, when the day comes and I just need just a little something, I know I can go back to that that was left aside." And Manasseh, it may not bother you that the idols are out there. It may not bother you that you simply put it on a shelf and it's been collecting dust. It may not be a big deal to you, but I'm telling somebody today, simply ignoring it will only create more problems in your life. The truth is, we are all going to serve someone or something. One writer said, "There is no real atheism. There is only idolatry." Because you are going to serve something or serve someone. You may not believe that there is a God in heaven who has that name Jesus attached to him, but you're serving money, or you're serving your job, or you're serving something else. Joshua said there is no box that says none of the above. He says, "I want you to choose this day whom you will serve. If Baal be God, then you go ahead and follow him. But if the Lord, if he be God, follow him." Joshua saw a problem because the people had that option to go back to worship the gods of their ancestors. But he said, "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. You do what you want to do. You worship whoever you want to worship. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord." And while we rejoice that Manasseh felt compelled to change, his failure to properly deal with the issue kept the tide from truly shifting. Manasseh, whether you realize it or not, you are constantly erecting idols in your home and teaching your children about who or what is worthy of your time, your money, your efforts, and your worship. There is what they call the law of exposure. It's our minds. It's what they absorb when we are around people. And our lives ultimately reflect what we are more frequently exposed to. What we see when we are young. The language that we hear in our home. What we saw dad participate in and mom participate in. When we saw church become an option. When we saw prayer become an option. You didn't realize that it wasn't really affecting you, but there was somebody else in the house that was watching and absorbing and taking in what you were really worshiping and what was really first in your life. Growing up, there were teams in sports that I hated because all of Houston hated them and because my dad hated them. I grew up hating the Buffalo Bills because they had one of the greatest comebacks ever against the Houston Oilers. And I was 3 years old when that took place. It made dad mad. It bothered somebody else around me. And that law of exposure crept into my heart and my mind. And I had a disdain for some things that really I had no business having an opinion on one way or another. But I observed and I listened and I watched, and it happens more than you realize. You're driving in the car and you're talking, and your children hear everything you're talking about. They may be playing their games. They may be looking out the window, but they are absorbing everything that you say, everything that you do, everything that you're watching and listening to. They are watching. They are listening. Everywhere you walk, you've got to remember there are little feet that are walking right behind you that are going to be going where you go and living where you live and saying what you say. They say that the most natural path for children are the ones they see mom and dad walk. So Manasseh has Ammon. The Bible says that Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made. Hold on a second. I thought you said Manasseh put it outside the city. I thought you said Manasseh did away with that. That it wasn't bothering him anymore. It wasn't weighing him down. It wasn't bothering Manasseh anymore. But Ammon said, hey, where's that idol that dad used to worship? Where's that thing that dad used to participate in? Where's that thing that mom used to be a part of? Let me go find that, because that's what I know. That's what I absorbed. That's what I took in. And dad may have changed his mind, but now I'm out of the house and I'm in, they're empty nesters now and they're doing their own thing. But now I want to go back to what I knew and what I saw and what I participated in. And the Bible says that Ammon began to worship those things that should have really been dealt with, but they were simply just put to the side. It was not truly dealt with. So now you have Ammon, who must have went out looking for these idols, saying, go find them. Dad said he put them outside the city. Go find them. Go get them. Go bring them in. Go bring them back to here. And so they find these idols with dust on them. And because they were not truly destroyed, because dad didn't take care of this, it became something I struggle with. And that is why it is so important for us to be mindful of what we do and what we say and what we allow into our home. Because Manasseh, the day may come where God grips your heart. There may come a day where God turns you around. But Ammon is watching you. Ammon is listening to you right now. And may it not be too late for you to deal with those idols that have crept into your life. But may you deal with it right now. You may be strong enough to get rid of it, but will your kids be able to live around it? No one in here in good conscience would leave a gun in a place where a small child could easily find it because of fear of the damage that it would cause their body. And yet children are exposed to things every day that are causing them a potentially far greater damage. Because a gun could take their life, but an idol will destroy their soul. There are things that we have entertained far too long, that we have allowed a place, and that we thought it was in a safe place. We thought it was said quietly. We thought it was done in a way that it really didn't bother them and affect them. But there are things that we are passing down to our children unawares that they are absorbing, and they've got a problem with church. They've got a problem with the man of God. They've got a problem with somebody in the church that they have no business even having an opinion of. But because they're exposed to it and they're hearing it, it is causing their soul bitterness, and it's stirring up a whole lot of problems. But then we have Josiah, an 8-year-old king who steps in, and the Bible says while he was yet young, he steps up and he says, "Oh, I want to seek after the God of David. I don't want to make the same mistakes that my dad made. I don't want to make the same mistakes that my grandfather made. And I don't have it all figured out yet, but I want to do this right. I want to make sure that what I do, and from here on out, I'm doing my part to pass down a legacy that is worthwhile." And he began to seek after God. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. And the Bible says they break down the idols and images in his presence. He said, "I want to be there when you're doing it. I want to make sure that it's gone. I want to make sure that it's dust. I want to make sure that there is no chance that it ever comes back again. Because my great granddad, he broke some things down and he thought he did good. But then my granddad went and put some of those things back together again. I can't afford for them to be put back together again. I can't afford for this issue to show back up in my family. I can't afford for this addiction to keep haunting us and keep terrorizing my family. It's time right now in my presence, get it and destroy it. You crush it. You make it into dust. Don't put it on a shelf. Don't put it somewhere where it can collect dust. Turn it into dust. Break it down. Destroy it. It's not going to have a place in my home. It's not going to have a place in my family. You're not going to talk like that in this house. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. We're going to destroy these idols. We're going to take care of some things that nobody else has bothered to deal with. But in the name of Jesus, we crush it. We destroy it. We wipe it out and annihilate it today. He said, it's not just enough to set them aside. Manasseh did that, but Ammon struggled. Cut it down. Break it into pieces. But this time I want it to be made into dust. He goes on to say, beat the image down to powder. If you will get rid of the idols once and for all, you will find a few verses later that in the purge, in the cleaning process, somebody comes up and they said, "Hey, we found something. And we think you're going to want to see this. We found the word. We found the law that Moses wrote." In the cleaning, The Word came back. If you want to have a fresh revelation of the Word of God in your life, then start crushing the idols. If you want God to show up in a new way in your life, then start crushing the idols. And somebody's going to come in and say, Brother Garrett, you're not going to believe this, but on Sunday morning, I crushed some things. And all of a sudden on Sunday night, the Word showed up. The Word began to speak to me. The Word began to guide me again. You want a fresh revival of the Word? Then let there be a crushing and a destroying of the idols that have tried to creep in and have tried to take over that number one spot in your life. It's a shame that we worship God solely for what He's done at times and not simply because of who He is. But yet in our world, we have celebrities that we idolize that have done nothing, and we worship them just because of who they are. We live in an hour where it's all about finding yourself, which always leads to somebody going out and living recklessly and making dumb decisions and going out and doing things they should never be a part of. Well, I went to the club because I'm just trying to find myself. I walked away from the church because I'm just trying to find myself. I went and did this because I'm just trying to find myself. I don't need a dusty idol. I don't need something I can make myself. I don't need to find myself. I need to lose myself, and I need to find Jesus. I need to find the Word again. I need to find His presence again. I need to get rid of some things that have been weighing me down and coming against my family and coming against my marriage and coming against my children. God, don't let me make the same mistake as Manasseh. God, but let me step up like Josiah and begin to seek You and to say, what do I need to do? Which one do I need to destroy next? Which one do I need to deal with now? And God, You begin to use us to deal with those things, and then You show back up in our life. Let's all stand all over this house. I need to grasp what Josiah got a hold of. I may be young, but I still want God. I may not have it all figured out yet, but I know this, I want God. I want Him to be number one again. And they opened up that law and they began to read. And there, that first commandment that was written, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Thou shalt have no other God before Me. The only one I know who can take dust and make something useful out of it is Jesus. Oh, if there's just broken pieces, somebody can come along with their hot glue gun and try to re-erect some things that they thought were long gone. But when you turn it to dust, when you make sure there's nothing left, He told Satan, that serpent, from now on, you're going to roll around on your belly and you're going to eat dust. Now, this isn't scriptural. This is just landing long today. But I wonder if every time He comes by those old idols that we've destroyed and it's dust, and He begins to eat that dust, may the devil, that serpent, chew on what was. Let it be a reminder while he tastes defeat. You know, we have this problem that I'm going to wait until it just becomes an issue to really deal with it. But the Bible says that we've got to trample the young lion and the young adder under our feet. Well, it's just a little cub. What's it going to harm you? It ain't going to do anything to you. It ain't going to bother you. It may not bother me, but I've got a young cub too. And if I let that young cub live, and it's raised with my kids, then there's going to come a day where that young lion is not a young lion anymore. I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost today, there's some of us in here that you have flirted with things and you have allowed things to remain in an easy place for you to get to them. Whenever God doesn't answer you the first time you call out, whenever somebody disappoints you, you can go back to that easy thing and you can revert back to that old idol. But I've come today to speak to some Josiahs in the house this morning that are tired of the same things that keep popping back up in your life. And you're saying, oh, Brother Landon, I want deliverance. I just don't know how. I want to break this idol, this addiction, this problem. I want to see it destroyed. But I don't know how. I'll tell you how. You just start crushing. Start cutting it down. Don't give it to somebody else to deal with. Don't bring it to pastor to deal with. Don't bring it to your youth pastor to deal with. Bring it and begin to do it right here in your presence. And say, right now, I want this gone. I don't want it popping up in 6 months. I don't want it showing back up in my life again when things get hard. I want to deal with this today. 1 John chapter 5 ends with this simple request. This isn't just an Old Testament thing. This isn't just a New Testament thing. This is something that we are dealing with right now. And I echo John today when he says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. I'm writing this and it's going to be the last thing I write in this letter because I want you to know it may not be a big deal to you. It may be a small trinket. It may be a small man. It may not be that big a deal. But I'm telling you, if you entertain it, there's going to come a day where it will consume your very soul. It will eliminate me from your life. It will eliminate prayer from your life. It will help you justify all the wrongs that you have done. It'll creep in and say, he doesn't want you to eat of that because then you'll be like him. He doesn't want you to participate in this because if you do that, then you're going to be like God. Can I tell you, you're never going to be like God. You're never going to have the power that he has. But you can be a child of God and you can serve him today and you can come to an old fashioned altar and kneel down and say, God, I know, Lord, there are some things in my life that I need to deal with today. God, I've let them stay around for far too long. Oh, come on, I'm speaking to somebody in the Holy Ghost this morning. There is somebody in the house today that have some things that you haven't really dealt with. Oh, maybe it hasn't been a problem for you in a few months, but you haven't crushed it. You haven't destroyed it. You haven't gotten rid of it. Would you come and find a place to pray today? Would you find a place right here and say, God, I'm not leaving until I see it destroyed. I'm not walking out of this place until there is nothing left. Because God, I've laid it down at an altar before. God, I've come and I set it at an altar before. But God, I didn't really deal with it. I didn't destroy it. I didn't crush it to the dust. God, and one day I came back and I picked up that old habit and I picked up that old idol. God, I can't afford to do that anymore. God, it's reckoning me. It's destroying me, oh God. It's draining me, Lord, like a spiritual leech, sucking out all that is good and all that is holy. Hear me, young people. God is wanting you today to call out to Him. Seek Him while you're young. Deal with it right now. Don't wait till you get older. Don't wait until a better day. Today, God has given somebody the opportunity to deal with some idols in your life. I don't want it to be a problem for my children. I don't want it to be a problem for my daughters. I don't want it to be a problem for my sons. I don't want it to be a problem for my grandchildren, God. Oh God, right now, Lord, help me to deal with this problem today. Help me, God, to see it come to an end today. I don't want it in my home. I don't want it in my fridge. I don't want it in my closet any longer. God, I just want You. I just want You. I don't want to find myself. I want to find You, God. I need Your help, God. Break this addiction. Break this carnality. Break this problem, oh God, in my life today. Come on, prayer warriors, call out to God right now for some of these that are struggling. Come on, come alongside some of them. Help them today. Help them crush their idols. Help them crush those things that have weighed them down. God, today, today may they be dust. Today may there not be a remnant left. Come on, I know this isn't popular. I know this isn't fun. I know you don't feel like shouting right now, but if you would begin to tear down that idol, the Word will show back up in your life.